services. So my messages have atrophied from 35, might be generous. Maybe I should really say 40 minutes, maybe long 45. And I'm shooting for 15 every week. So at least you know my goal on that. So one of the things that's helped me is I've stuck with this question. What does it look like for the word of God to be choked out in our life? What does it look like for the word of God to be snatched away by our enemy? Or what does it look like for us just to set aside or reject the word of God because of the trouble or persecution that comes along with it? Jesus says that it's very important that we bear the fruit that God is looking for. When God speaks, he's always looking for a response from us. Last week, we looked at one of the groups that Jesus encounters, and they would be considered his adversaries, his opponents, the scribes, the teachers of the law, the Pharisee. Today, I want you to think about a different group of people. This is the crowd that as often as Jesus taught and healed and drove out demons, that there would be a crowd that would be a part of that. And Jesus also interacts with the crowd. And it's clear that there's a distinction between the crowd and those who have signed on and sworn their allegiance to Jesus as their Messiah and King. And so today we're going to compare and contrast the crowd with the committed, and we're going to wrestle ourselves with it. Do we feel like, would Jesus place us in the category of the crowd that's checking him out, or the committed who have sworn our allegiance to him as King? So really quickly, we'll look at part of the parable of the sower, just to lay the foundation. Jesus says that God speaks his word, and he's wanting his word to be fruitful in our life. He says that there's seed that falls among the thorns, and that stands for those who hear. They recognize, hey, wow, this is great news. The kingdom of God is at hand. If we'll quit our rebellion and enter into the kingdom, we can now live here and now in anticipation of the day when our King returns and sets everything right. But he says there's some who hear that, and it's good news to them, but as they go on their way, the word of God is choked out by life's cares and life's riches and pleasures. And so we're just trying to explore what does it look like for that to happen so that we can recognize the dangers and the traps that are associated with that. In Luke 12 through 13, Luke gives us a reality check. In several of these passages, they're kind of hard for us to read, but they force us to either admit that we're in the crowd and we're just listening and checking Jesus out, or we have signed on and we've sworn our allegiance to Jesus as King. The difference is that when we really do hear what God is saying, there is fruit that's produced. And when we are just checking out what God is saying, we don't produce the fruit of the kingdom. So the crowd was made up of people who were checking Jesus out, but were they really sold out to Jesus? My rhetorical answer is no, they were not. And likewise, with you and me, how can you tell if you are producing the fruit of the kingdom that God is looking for, or do you more often sit in the group of the crowd? Jesus says this to the crowd. Now prepare, this is going to sound abrasive, this is going to sound harsh, but Jesus insists that this is everyone's opportunity right here and right now to quit their rebellion against God, to repent, to enter into his kingdom, to be filled with his spirit, and now to live as loyal subjects to him as King. He insists that that is this opportunity. And anybody who doesn't see that, they're playing with the things that God has said rather than being committed to them. And so he says to the crowd this. He says, when you see a cloud rising in the west, immediately you say it's going to rain, and it does. Interestingly enough, this week as I was preparing for this message, I was sitting on my back deck, and this was the day that it was getting ready to storm, and I looked up and I saw these black billowing clouds approaching, and it hadn't rained here in weeks, and yet, like the crowd, I thought, I bet it's going to rain. And Jesus says, and sure enough, you see those dark rain clouds and it rains. Not only that, but when the south wind blows, you say it's going to be hot. And sure enough, I think even next week, we are going to once again have strong south winds. And it shouldn't shock anybody if they say, yes, we are going to have another hot day. Well, Jesus says to the crowd, You guys are just play actors when it comes to me. You're hypocrites. You present yourselves as people who are interested in what I'm saying, and you're picking up on what I'm saying, but Jesus says, it's just not true. He says, you know how to interpret the appearance of the sky. Sure enough, you can look up there and tell it's going to rain, or you know how when the south wind is blowing, you can anticipate it's going to be a hot day. But how is it possible that when I have laid out this message, the kingdom of God is at hand, repent and believe the good news, how is it possible that you really haven't recognized, oh yeah, this is my time, my day to do just that, to quit my rebellion against the king, to swear my allegiance to him, to repent, to be baptized, and then to start living today with him as my king? How is it that I can't understand that time? How is it that I don't know that that's what time it is for me today? The word hypocrites, it's really describing people who are checking Jesus out, but not producing the fruit, not really turning from our rebellion, not really now obeying him. That's what that play acting is like, all right? They think that they're hearing. They believe when they are listening to Jesus and they're watching him heal and drive out demons and they're listening to his teachings, they think they are really hearing what he's saying. But here's the bottom line. If they have not quit the rebellion against God, then they cannot produce the fruit of the kingdom. That's why Jesus calls them hypocrites. One way or another, and we're not really sure why. I mean, it's a group of people, so there's going to be a spectrum of reasons why the fruit's not, or the word's not producing fruit in their life or in our life. Perhaps the word of God is just being snatched away by Satan. That whenever Jesus says it, some people say, oh, that's ridiculous. You know, I'm interested in part of what he's saying, but that's not realistic. Others, when Jesus says things like this, when he says that I have come to bring fire on this earth, and how I wish it were already kindled, that a time is soon coming when there's going to be division in the home, when husbands and wives are going to be separated on this account, when parents and children are going to be separated on, are we going to follow Jesus or are we not? And Jesus says that you'll be betrayed by people who are closest to you. And some people, when they read that or hear that, they say, I'm out. My sense of peace and security must dominate, and I'm certainly not going to swear my allegiance to Jesus in a way that separates me and anyone in any way from those who will not swear their allegiance to Jesus. Or perhaps the reason that the word isn't producing fruit is that they're just distracted by life's cares and life's riches and life's pleasures. One way or another, the fruit is not being produced. And that's why Jesus says that you're just play acting. You're presenting the appearance of somebody who is supporting me and is following me, but you're hypocrites. You're acting this thing. And so you and I, you know, we're going to ask this question. Are we with the crowd and are just play acting? Sure enough, I mean, everybody who is a part of this today, we have at least gathered to consider something that Jesus has said. Are we, though, committed to what he said, or are we taking it under advisement and we haven't yet, like the crowd, recognized that, no, this is my day, my opportunity to quit my rebellion, swear my allegiance to Jesus as king, and get busy living with him as my king? Those would be the fruit producers. So let's say you and I, we are church people. Let's say we've got it. We are listening to, we are receiving this word. We've heard the word of God. We have left our rebellion. And now we are living in anticipation of the coming king. Let's just say that that's where we are. Jesus, we're not among the crowd. We are among the committed. We're not perfect, but we're among the committed. Well, let's listen to Jesus as he says, okay, Loy, then, let's produce some fruit. And we're just going to look at a short passage that Jesus describes what it looks like to be among the committed and produce the fruit. Jesus says, why don't you judge for yourselves what is right? He's describing a reality where we have broken relationships, where in all probability in this context, we actually have sinned against a brother or a sister. We've done some things that are wrong. But like most people around us, it is terribly humbling to own up to our sin and our rebellion and to actually go and ask a brother or sister for forgiveness. That is really hard to do. And we're horrified at the thought that we might actually lose reputation or lose some of our assets or we may not get what we want in life if we will humble ourselves and once again commit to follow our King. So Jesus says this, as you are going with your adversary, so you're fighting with somebody. You've got an adversary in your life. It takes two to fight. And it's not always true that you're at fault, but let's at least consider today the cases where we have contributed to this mess. We have contributed to it. He says that as you are going with your adversary to the magistrate, you want this thing resolved. Everybody claims, yes, I want justice. I want the right thing to be done. Jesus says this, this is the fruit of the kingdom. As you're on the way, I want you to do everything that is possible within your power to make this thing right with your enemy before you ever end up before the judge. I want you to try hard to be reconciled. If you don't, Jesus says, that the judge, your adversary may drag you off to the judge and the judge turn you over to the officer and the officer throw you into prison. And Jesus says, don't think for a minute that God is going to be on your side if you are a part of this mess and you haven't owned up to it. Jesus says, I tell you the truth. You're not going to get out of prison until you have paid the last penny. Jesus is sowing the word right here. We may not like what he's saying. The crowd may not, but he's sowing the word right here. Is it going to be rejected? Like Satan just snatching it away and says, I'm not clearing up broken relationships. No way. That's just not going to happen. Is it going to be looked on with horror to think, well, if I humble myself and owe up to my part of this, I'm going to suffer as a result of that. I don't want to do that. Is it going to be choked out by life's cares or life's riches or life's pleasures? Or is the word of God going to produce fruit? Are we going to do this? Jesus says, clean up your messes. The very thing that we try to teach our kids when they're the youngest in the physical realm, we need to learn that in the physical realm and then definitely practice it in the relational realm. Are we willing to take Jesus serious and clear up our broken relationships, the messes that we are in? Are we willing to say, I'm tired of the hiding, I'm tired of the denying, I'm going to come clean and I'm going to come into the light? Am I willing to actually repent of my rebellion against God and the harm that I've brought, make what restitution I can, or am I going to force, you know, that whatever gets released from my, you know, stingy little hands, that's because the judge has made me release that. Jesus says, why don't you judge for yourself what is right? How about you? Any broken relationships in your life right now? In your world? This is my question. Jesus says sometimes when the word of God is sown that life's cares choke it out. Are you concerned about things that are keeping you from clearing it up? You think, I'm just worried that if I do that, this is what's going to happen. I don't really want to go there. How about this? Sometimes life's riches keep us from clearing it up. Are you worried about what you may have to give up in restitution to make things right? Are you worried that maybe just to appease an enemy and make peace that you might have to pay some kind of a price? Jesus says, I got to tell you that life's cares, riches, and pleasures, they choke out the word of God. Are you worried that some desire you have will go unmet if you repent? And so just the whole idea of repenting is repulsive to you. Really, this passage has it all. It's a tiny little passage. But we have it. We have the word of God sown. Jesus saying, if you don't want to just remain in the crowd and you want to be a part of the committed, this is what it's going to look like. Produce this fruit. There is a need, Loy. There is a need to quit your rebellion. This is the opportunity. This is what it even looks like. It's not some hypothetical thing. It's like right here, right now, Loy, if you say you're going to swear your allegiance to me as king, how about clearing up this mess that you've been a part of? And it's a beautiful description of the fruit. It says, try your hardest to reconcile with your adversary. Now we even know what it looks like to produce the fruit of the kingdom. Let's pray together. Father, our Lord Jesus has described some people who hear what he has to say as being hypocrites because they're listening, they're taking it under advisement, but they have not signed on to serve him as their king. And at the heart, they have not actually quit the rebellion against you. They're still calling the shots. Holy Spirit, I pray for my brothers and sisters here. If there are broken relationships that need to be cleared up, if there are messes in our life